Public Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and you're not alone if you haven't finished the grocery shopping required to put a holiday meal on your table.
Americans have access to more ingredients and more produced foods than at any time in our history. And yet, more of us are taking an increased interest in where our food originated.
So it's a busy time of year for Wisconsin's agricultural ambassador. The title Alice in Dairyland may seem like a throwback to a beauty pageant and one specific industry, but the 67th Alice, who goes by her real name, Zoe Brooks, is a full-time employee of the state's Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
The Waupaca native spends much of her time this year working on behalf of Wisconsin growers and producers, and she stopped by the Lake Effect studio to chat. Thanks so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me on air.
What is the story of Wisconsin-made food that you think is maybe the least told but maybe needs to be told the most?
Well, definitely during this holiday season and Thanksgiving coming up, it's so important to keep that money right here in our local communities and in Wisconsin by shopping local. Choosing something that is made here in Wisconsin, that's produced in Wisconsin, helps to keep that money in our economy, and it helps to support our local farmers, agribusinesses, food processors that are working hard all year round. It helps to support them and keep that business right here in our state.
So there's a label the state's agriculture department has created. This is the Something Special from Wisconsin program. What distinguishes the foods that carry that label?
Yes. So the next time you're out shopping, if you're shopping for your dinner coming up here, you're looking for gifts, keep an eye out for the red Something Special from Wisconsin logo. It's a small oval logo. It says Something Special from Wisconsin in the center. And if you see that on a product, it guarantees that at least 50% of that product's ingredients, processing, or production takes place right here in Wisconsin. So it's a sure sign that you are buying local and helping to support our local businesses.
So if maybe people don't necessarily want to take every product off the shelf and inspect it for that label, is there a master list of these products someplace?
Yes, definitely. So you can find all of the companies that are part of Something Special from Wisconsin. There's over 450 local companies that are part of this program. And if you log on to somethingspecialwi.com, full listing of all those companies, links to their websites where you can find them in stores, and also where you can order them online, too.
And obviously, there are probably companies in Wisconsin that aren't necessarily on this list or with this label, but this does kind of speak to the notion of the importance of just knowing where your food is coming from.
Any product in the store, pick it up, look at the ingredients, look where it's processed and produced and where it's coming from. And if you have a choice between here in Wisconsin or another location, choose that Wisconsin brand.
We have done a full series on food in Wisconsin here, and so our listeners are probably aware of the diversity of things that are grown and made here. But let's talk about some seasonally appropriate items. What might fit in with our Thanksgiving plans? And people can't see this, but there is a variety of food in front of you.
I do. I always bring food when I come in to visit places.
You can visit any time for just that reason.
Good. Lots of different products here with me today. These are all part of the Something Special from Wisconsin program. But I'll start here. Centerpiece of a lot of Thanksgiving dinners and holiday dinners, get-togethers, is, of course, wine. You have it with dinner, after dinner, before dinner. And here with me today, I have wine from Beach Row Winery. And they're out of Jefferson, Wisconsin, so not too far from here. And I have with me their Padres Punch wine, which is a red wine. But they also have a Nun on the Run, a Wapatui wine. Definitely creative types and labels and flavors that they offer. They have their vineyard open to the public for tasting and tours. So that's something that you can shop local for. And look at all our wines here in Wisconsin, support all our local wineries and breweries in our state. Something that you can pair with that wine for an appetizer or dessert is chocolate from Roots Chocolates. They're out of Wisconsin Dells. And they are creating their chocolates with ingredients from right on their farm. So they are unique seasonal chocolates. So coming up here for the holiday season, they're going to be incorporating different ingredients to really bring out that holiday flavor. But they use vegetables, fruits, and spices and herbs from their own gardens on their farm, incorporate those into the chocolate for a unique taste.
Now, I assume cocoa beans are not grown in Wisconsin, right?
They are not. That's correct. So there are, you'll see in some products, obviously, if it's a seafood product or chocolate or sometimes coffee, those products are obviously coming into Wisconsin, which is great for our import-export markets, but 50% at least is from our state, so that's a sure guarantee. And it's something unique from Wisconsin agriculture. You don't usually think chocolate
No.
when you think of our agriculture industry, but it definitely incorporates that, and it gets a little unique twist on it, too. Also with me today, meat products from Newski's Applewood Smoked Meats. They're out of Wittenberg, Wisconsin, and they offer beautiful spiral glazed hams and turkeys coming up here for Thanksgiving and the holidays. With me today here, I also brought their liver pate and their garlic summer sausage, and they're famous for their Applewood Smoked flavor that is found in all of their meats. And you can set these out as appetizers before you dig into that beautiful ham or turkey for dinner. Also with me today, I brought cheese. This is from Crave Brothers Farmstead Cheese. They're out of Waterloo, Wisconsin, so close to this area as well. And if you're looking for, you know, a unique dessert option, definitely incorporate mascarpone into that dessert. It has a velvety, creamy texture, and it's Wisconsin. We have to incorporate cheese into every course of our meal. So dessert is covered with the mascarpone. And if you aren't familiar with mascarpone cheese,
I was just going to ask.
Great. It's actually the main ingredient in tiramisu, which is a dessert that you might have heard of. And so it really has that light, fluffy texture. You can compare it to maybe a cream cheese. It's more of a dessert-style cheese, but can also be used in sauces and pasta to give it a creamy texture, too. So definitely a versatile cheese. And Mark, what's great about Crave Brothers cheese is it's made with renewable energy on their farm. They have a biodigester right there on the farm that converts waste energy from the farm into energy that supplies the cheese plant there and the farm and also hundreds of local area homes with power.
And of course, in a pinch, you could probably eat that with a spoon.
Yes. Here with me today, I have the small serving size, but they can also come in larger containers and also food service containers if you're really going to go crazy with the baking too. And if you're on the run this Thanksgiving, say you're going from house to house and you want to tide yourself over, but of course not spoil that wonderful dinner, snacks are definitely great for the road. And here with me today, I have Exceedingly Satisfying. These are natural fruit and nut snack mixes and lots of different flavors that they offer, sweet and savory. They have sweet and fruity and also sweet and tropical. I know they have a sweet and sassy. So definitely all natural option. Won't ruin your dinner, but will tide you over, and really convenient grab and go for the kids too.
And certainly for people who are taking road trips over Thanksgiving, this is something you can bring along with you in the car.
Yes, small enough and slipping in a pocket, it's great. And also if you know you're going to be out this weekend hunting deer, it's great to throw those in your pocket if you're out deer hunting, and something to tide you over to while you're sitting. And if you're looking to keep it fresh this Thanksgiving also, you can look for fresh produce that's grown right here in Wisconsin throughout the winter months. And, you know, you're thinking here in November when it's about 20 degrees, where are you getting fresh produce? But that's grown on Future Roots Farms. They're out of New Berlin, Wisconsin. So right around this area. And they're growing produce with aquaponics, which combines hydroponics, which is growing plants without any soil, with aquaculture, which is fish farming here in the state. Combines those two to produce these beautiful, beautiful plants that are getting nutrients from those fish. And those plants are also helping to clean that water, provide nutrients to those fish as well. So symbiotic combination there. And they have CSA, which is a community supported agriculture. You can get products weekly from Future Roots Farms to keep fresh produce in the house all year long.
Let me ask a little bit about the work you do. With each successive generation, we hear that fewer younger people are going into or sticking with agriculture. What do you see in the future of farming that has made you want to stay?
Well, this industry has modernized and really diversified in the past decade or so. My favorite thing to do as Alice in Dairyland, I work a lot with kids on my job, and I'll go up to them and we'll be talking about agriculture, and I'll say, well, what is the first thing that pops into your mind when you think of farming, when you think of a Wisconsin farmer? And without a doubt, one of the few responses I get are bib overalls, a straw hat, hay hanging out of the mouth, or driving a tractor. And, you know, it's really unique. And I love getting those responses because I love kind of turning that on its head and saying, well, hey, I'm a farmer. And usually I'm there dressed in heels and a dress and a sash. And, you know, it really makes them step back and think, okay, you know, really, what is this industry all about? And it just shows younger generations are getting involved in agriculture. Women are getting involved with agriculture as well. And that's something that I love to promote during my year as Alice as well, is that women definitely play a pivotal role in this industry. And more increasingly, they're becoming involved in production agriculture. They're becoming sole proprietors on operating farms. And that's really exciting to see. And I'm excited to join the ranks of those women as well, because I'll be returning to my family farm after my years, Alice.
Right. In years past, I think the image of women on the farm was probably a behind-the-scenes supporting role. But,
exactly.
But there are more women who are becoming the proprietors of their farms.
Yes. You know, women have always had a part in our industry. They have always helped right alongside their husbands or their fathers or grandfathers. And it's really exciting to see them taking that leadership role and kind of turning that stereotype around what a Wisconsin farmer is.
You grew up on a dairy farm, right?
Yes.
Was there ever a point when you were young or younger that you said, there's no way I'm staying on this farm when I grow up?
Oh, I think definitely every farm kid has that thought, probably once a day. Because farm kids, you grow up, you work on that farm from the time that you can walk up until the time that you leave for school or other options. But
so what changed your mind?
What really changed my mind? There was never a thought that I wish I never had grown up on a farm. That definitely never crossed my mind. It teaches you hard work. Yes, you are working instead of hanging out with friends or going out and having fun. But it was really the lifestyle that I had growing up, learning how to work and, working alongside my family, which a lot of people don't get the opportunity to do. I was working right alongside my sisters and my dad out in the fields and getting to work with my grandparents as well. And I realized in the future that when I thought of my family and future generations on that farm, I wanted them to have that same experience, learn that same work ethic, and also, most importantly, learn where food is coming from. The average generation here today is about 3 to 5 generations removed from a farm.
So are you thinking someday you will take over this farm?
That is the plan right now. So I'll be returning in June. Right now, my dad is running that farm. I will hopefully be partnering with him in the coming years. I'll be starting right at the bottom, working right alongside everybody else and working my way up. And hopefully we'll be partnering together. And, he's already starting his retirement planning. So I think he's excited for it as well.
How many head of cows do you have?
We milk about 250 Holsteins. We have about 500 head total on the farm. And we're also a grain operation, too. We run about 1,700 acres.
Which is harder, working on a dairy farm or working as Alice in Dairyland?
I say the hours are pretty much the same. I'd probably say, it's hard to say which is harder. They both are unique, definitely, and have different aspects to them that are more difficult and some that are more easy.
What's the hardest part of what you do now?
Oh, gosh. Nothing's really hard because I'm having a blast. I have the best job in the state. But it's a lot of travel time. It's a lot of time away from home. I'll travel about 40,000 miles in a year, which is equivalent to a trip around the globe. So I definitely put on a lot of miles and living on the road a lot. But it's been great because I get to see so many different parts of the state, from the littlest towns, unincorporated towns, to big cities.
I saw a picture of you standing in hip waders in a cranberry bog. Do you end up doing a lot of, shall we say, unusual things?
Yeah, I get to do a lot of fun things like that with the different industries here in Wisconsin. Cranberries, I also got to help with ginseng harvest. I, of course, get to visit a lot of dairy farms in our state. But that's what's so great about the position is I come from a dairy farm, a dairy background, but I also get to be a student in a lot of this and learn about the different industries as well as teaching people about them.
What is your Thanksgiving dinner going to look like?
Well, we have two dinners, actually. And we'll have our traditional Thanksgiving dinner, of course, on Thursday. But we also get to do a second, we call it our venison feed. That next day we have out at our hunting cabin and we have, fresh venison there that we grill up on a wood stove and have lots of family and friends out to our hunting cabin for that. So that's what I'm really looking forward to. Hopefully,
do you have a special blaze orange sash for that?
I don't. I should. I don't have an orange sash. I have about 30 different sashes, different colors, but not orange. But hopefully someone gets a deer this weekend or in the coming week so that we have venison for that feed.
Well, Zoe Brooks, thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving, happy holidays, and come back and see us again.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Waupaca native Zoe Brooks is the state's 67th Alice in Dairyland, a program of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
One last break now, and then a chat with award-winning cookbook author Dori Greenspan. That comes your way when Lake Effect returns on WUWM.